The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Beach Season Chiefs Kingdom. What a wild, wild week of free agency we just witnessed. A lot of things have happened. A lot of franchises just with the gun to their head, had no money to pay the players they had, just had to cut people, trade people, people changing teams like, you know, like hotcakes, just passing around players from team to team. Some big contracts going out. Chiefs made a couple of moves in-house. Chiefs made a move out of house, which we'll get to here in a minute. There's a little bit of wait and see. Will they, won't they, with LeJarius Sneed that we'll get to. You know, it's kind of like the ultimatum on Netflix, right, at this point. Like okay, the everything is set now. Put your money where your mouth is, Colts, and either pay him or don't, you know. But we'll talk about all that here in a second. Welcome back to Beach Season. We're still here for another episode. We haven't been canceled yet. Every week that we are here, I consider that a victory, a personal victory that we're still on the air. Still, no word from Daniel Jeremiah about when he wants to be on the show. No word from Field Yates either. But let's be honest. Field Yates, no, I'm joking. Field Yates is great, is what he does. Open invitations. Daniel Jeremiah, Field Yates, Brett Veach, Mel Kiper Jr., heck, Trevor Sikkema, Connor Rogers. I mean, I'm just going to go down the list. Marcus Mosher, who else?
Everybody's full-time welcome. Name,
everybody, anybody, heck, anybody's welcome. Jason Dunn, you know, he has a pretty great Chiefs podcast as well that I find pretty entertaining. Anybody who wants to get on here and talk Chiefs and talk draft, we always love to have you. You can reach our representation and our people at Rocky Magana on Twitter or at Kramer Talks on Twitter as well. And we're still calling it Twitter here because I'm an old man and I refuse.
Oh, I call it X now. Oh, come on now,
Rocky. Oh, you Gen Z SOB. Look at you, you conformist. On, what? You don't know how to stand up for what you believe in? You just want to fall in line with every single thing the man tells you to do, Kramer?
It took me till November to update the app to X. So, hey, I waited as long as I could because then I wouldn't access Twitter. Well, then now X.
I still type in twitter.com to access.
Well, it still works.
It still works. Yeah, I do. And I'm not going to change. And why? Because I'm grumpy and I'm old and I don't want to change. I know I could type in the other one and get there and it's the exact same thing, but I refuse to make them pay for the extra domain space. Make Elon pay for two domains. That's what I say.
He's got the
make
money
him
for
go
it.
On GoDaddy.com yearly and re-up that domain so somebody doesn't snag it out from underneath them.
I don't even think GoDaddy even works anymore.
Well, wherever they're Foursquare. What's the other one? Bluehost. Is that one still? I don't know. GeoCities. Yeah, go on GeoCities and do it. I don't know. But anyway, I'm Rocky Magana. He's Kramer Samsone. We are happy to be here as always. And Kramer, it's that time of the week again. What's hot with Crame Dog?
So what's hot with Crame Dog this week? Did you hear Mike Tyson is actually going to be in a boxing match against Jake Paul? It's going to be absolutely awesome, I guess. July 20th, when it's going to come out. But I cannot wait for it because the Twitical Taiga, Mike Tyson, getting back in the ring. If you haven't seen videos right now, that dude can still move. And I hope he can knock out Jake Paul.
Ever since he became a vegan and went on the Bob Marley regimen of of herbal supplements, Mike Tyson has become a whole other level of, like, I don't know. I think it actually made him younger by like 10 years, right? Like
I agree.
Better than he has in a long time. He looks great and good, because Jake Paul has never actually fought anybody real before. And even now, he's trying to get a guy who's been retired for like 30 years to fight against him. Somebody needs to just lay Jake Paul out. Like, I'm done. I'm over Jake Paul sitting here trying to say that he's a fighter and he's doing all these things without ever actually fighting real fighters in their prime. Like, bro, like, so, come on. Like, you're not out here challenging Conor McGregor to an MMA match.
That should happen at some point, but there's some stipulations to this. Apparently, Jake can actually wear a headpiece during this match, and he could possibly tag in his brother Logan.
I have words to say about this that I can't say on this podcast, because A, I'll get canceled, and B, Pete wouldn't be happy about having to put that big of an explicit tag on this podcast. But there's a certain type of words that in my day and age that we would call a guy like that.
Oh yeah.
For wanting to wear a headgear when the other guy couldn't, and then tagging his brother to fight his fight for him. Right. And I'm a pretty progressive dude, but like, bro, like, fight your own fight. And if the other guy's not wearing headgear, you don't wear headgear either. If you don't want to get brain damaged, Jake Paul, then don't step in the ring with freaking Mike Tyson and act like it's a fight. It's not even a fight then at that point. Like, what you want to, like, you want to have him wear like 60 ounce gloves as well? Like, what do you want him to do? Hit you with a pillow and you get to hit him with a brick? Like, what else do you want to try to level the playing field for you soft little boy?
I think it's to protect his ears in case Mike Tyson gets hungry in the ring.
I mean, listen, don't, like, if I lived 500 years ago, I wouldn't just like stroll up to an Aztec pyramid and say what's up, right? Because I'm gonna get sacrificed and get my body eaten. Like, they're gonna eat me. They're cannibals. So if you don't want to get eaten, then don't get in the ring with a cannibal, bro. Like, that's on you.
The Twitical Tag is back.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I grew up playing Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. And if anybody grew up playing Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, you know that the truth about that game is that Macho Man was actually harder to beat than Mike Tyson in that game. And if you got past him, you could beat Mike Tyson. That was the secret.
Interesting. Of that game. Did not know that one.
I probably played that game for about 150,000 hours one summer until I finally beat it. And then I don't think I was ever able to actually beat it again. But it was Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, shout out, one of the greatest video games of all time. All right. Let's actually talk about some stuff that we're supposed to talk about today, like about some Chiefs football, instead of just talking about YouTubers, Mike Tyson, and NES video games. If you're still here with us on this episode, thanks for indulging us and sticking with us this long. So, some Chiefs news this week. As part of free agency, Chiefs brought back Mike Pinnell and Turk Wharton. I love both of these signings. Turk Wharton is a guy who's just great depth on the line. Have you ever seen that man on leg day? Like, when the Chiefs send out those videos of like the Chiefs players working out, look at Turk Wharton's thighs are just on the field. The man's thighs are the size of a Suburban. Like, I bet you he leg presses 4,000 pounds. Like, it's like, I've never seen legs as big as Turk Wharton's legs. And it's probably why he anchors pretty good on the defensive line. Other than that, Mike Pinnell, two-time Chiefs Super Bowl champion, Mike Pinnell, Super Bowl hero, Mike Pinnell, back with the Kansas City Chiefs. That is a big, angry, and violent man who is awesome in the run game. The Chiefs usually don't bring him in until later in the year. He's kind of like their playoff push guy that they bring in. But they brought him back this year. He signed from the get-go. Just great veteran leadership. He has that killer mentality. If you watch the latest episode, the final episode of the franchise, Mike Pinnell's on the sideline just telling people, like, get out there, be mean, kill somebody. Like, you know, he's got that attitude that you need, you know, in these big games. And so I'm a huge fan of Mike Pinnell. What about you? What do you think about those signings, as well as Drew Tranquil? Did we talk about that last week? Drew Tranquil's back too, right? Did we talk about that last week? Did that happen yet?
That happened. I'm pretty sure it happened. Didn't we talk about that? Yes, I think we did. I think we talked about that because it's obviously huge if Drew Tranquil's back.
Yeah, we talked about it.
I talked about it on my show, my other
and
show.
I had to go come back and talk about Chris Jones.
Yeah, that
because
that
the Chris
happened.
Jones thing happened while we were talking.
Exactly.
Speaking of that, I should probably open up Twitter just in case Snead gets traded while we're talking today, because we are recording on St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. Go out there, have a car bomb or 10, but get home safe. Drive an Uber. I once had 10
ride
too many
an Uber.
Car bombs
Don't drive
on a
Uber.
St. Patrick's Day and woke up using a soccer ball as a pillow in my front yard at 11 p.m. at night.
Never gotten that far from me.
This is years ago.
What I'm curious about Mike Pinnell and Tre'Shaun Wharton is: did the Chiefs were they able to get them back because they know they would take that team friendly deal, knowing how tight the Chiefs are against the cap? You clearly know with the signing. I mean, we'll talk more about it with the addition of Hollywood Brown. You know, there was still like that tiny bit of money that they could have offered elsewhere, I guess, if they wanted to upgrade a position. But it was nice that these two studs, they actually bought in and understand the Chiefs' way, and they know they can get a ring with the Chiefs right now. They're already still trying to three-peat, and this is perfect for the Chiefs. They knew these two guys are productive for them when they need it, and they're back on a team that could possibly win a third Super Bowl ring in a row.
Well, and the thing is like, so say for instance somebody's offering them 1 year $2 million and the Chiefs are offering them 1 year league minimum, which is like $1.5 million, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you want to go chase a ring or go play somewhere else and move your whole family and everything for an extra $500,000, right? And so I mean, yeah, so was it the fact that the Chiefs could get them back on a team from the deal? 100%. Are they depth pieces? 100%. Do we love to have them back? Yeah. Why? Because there are guys. Anytime you have to hold on to your guys that you've had success with and they're still as good as they were when you had success with them, it's great. Because the best part about this is that it fills out the bottom part of the roster so that the Chiefs aren't up against it in the draft. Like, this enables Brett Veach to draft best available. And that's what he loves to do, you know, in these drafts. So speaking of that, we're going to do a full post-free agency first-round mock draft for the entire NFL on this episode today. It's going to try to be a predictive one where we try to say, okay, so they made these signings in free agency. Let's try to guess where we think this team's going to go and who they might go for. And we're going to do trades too. We're going to put ourselves in the seat of the GM, and we're going to see how close we can get. Here's a little spoiler alert. We're not going to get close. Nobody's going to get close. Why? Because on draft day, there's going to be 8 trades, right? You know, of teams switching around. So a team who's now picking 10 is going to pick 4. And a team who's picking in the 20s is going to move up to the teens, and somebody's going to trade out of the first round. And it's just so unpredictable, right? That's why last year, I think it was it Budweiser that had, like, if you got all 32 draft picks correct, you won like free beer for a year or something like that, right? But you go online, you fill out the form, and the form didn't allow for trades. It was like a foolproof program because like you couldn't put trades in there. So it's like, oh, this nobody's gonna win this. The second there's a trade, everybody is disqualified, right? So anyway, we're gonna do an entire,
that's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. It was a horrible, horrible thing, but it was good publicity for them, and they didn't. There was no skin off of their back. So we're gonna go through an entire predictive mock draft in this episode as well. But before we get to that, let's talk a little bit more Chiefs football. Hollywood Brown, Kramer. I was on record as saying that I didn't want Hollywood Brown per se to the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm gonna walk that back a bit, because Hollywood Brown to the Chiefs on a 1 year deal worth up to $11 million, but actually $7 million on the cap hit. That's genius. I want Hollywood Brown for that all day long. I didn't want Hollywood Brown for 3 years, $55 million, right? I didn't want him on a contract like that. 1 year, prove it deal, so he can chase a ring. It's a whole Juju situation. That the other 4 million of those are probably, you know, based upon certain milestones hit. They may be not likely to be earned. They could be. No, I haven't seen the details on it, so I don't really know what they are. But the fact of the matter is, all we care about at this time of the year, I don't care how much money comes out of Clark Hunt's pocket in totality. I care how much money is counted against the Chiefs' salary cap at this moment and how much the Chiefs still have left to spend, because who they can get and bring in. And so Hollywood Brown on this contract, it's a genius. Genius, no-brainer move. It gives the Chiefs that field stretcher that they need, but he can also go over the middle. He, you know, he's great on out patterns. Like, he has a whole route tree. The guy's a full, just fully developed, legit wide receiver. Who, early, and this is where I'm going to give him credit. Early in Hollywood Brown's career, when he was with the Baltimore Ravens, his sophomore season, I think he had 7 drops or something like that. He had a huge case of the drops, right? He almost said like he had the yips or something. He could not catch. It seemed like he was just dropping balls in the end zone left and right. Since then, I think he has like a 3% drop rate. Yep. Since then, like, the guy has completely turned around. I think Ron Kopp Jr. talked about it a little bit. He plays bigger than he actually is. He can go up and get a ball. I mean, the more that I've gone back and watched more tape on him since they signed him, the more I've liked him as a player and who he is. And I think it's a great signing. And regardless of if I wanted them to sign him ahead of time or not, he's a Kansas City Chief now, so I'm a huge fan, right? Once you put that jersey on, baby, I'm your biggest fan. I don't care who you are, right? Like, I don't care if I didn't like you before. Like, they could put, like, I mean, you know, Derek Carr could put on a Chiefs jersey, and I'd be like, cool.
He's our guy now.
I don't care. Yeah, you're our guy now. I don't care what you did in your past. Let bygones be bygones. You know, it's is that Ted Lasso quote? I hope that either all of us are judged based upon our worst moments, or none of us are, right? And that's how I feel about people who are on the teams they played for. Like, you know, like, don't, like, just, I won't, as long as you play for us now, I won't judge you for who you were in the past, right?
And hey, that's fair. Yeah.
So just put on our jersey, baby, and you're one of us now, Hollywood Brown. So welcome to Kansas City, and we love you, man. What do you think about this Hollywood Brown signing?
This was a good move for the Chiefs. They needed to do something here, and you at least got a proven wide receiver that knows capability of not dropping footballs when it's been thrown to him, because that's something that the Chiefs lacked clearly all of last season. And now it feels like, with this roster being set and put together now, it feels like this team is more well-rounded, I want to say, than last year, because we're at least going to expect – to see Rashee Rice, Marquise Brown, and now with them alongside Travis Kelce out there, knowing that there's going to be at least 3 options for the Chiefs that you can be confident that Patrick Mahomes is going to hit at least one of those open guys, because they will get open. Because if you double team one guy, like if they say it's Travis Kelce, there's some guys that are going to be single covered, also double covered. But then if there's 2 people double covering somebody, someone's wide open. So this is a good situation for the Chiefs. Absolutely love it. And let me emphasize this again. He does not drop the football. He doesn't. So this is clearly a good thing for the Chiefs.
I mean, that's the top thing right there, right? Like, that's the number one deal. He doesn't drop the football. Like, guys, we have a wide receiver who can stretch the field that doesn't drop the football.
He's legit an X receiver.
He's legit. Well, I wouldn't call him an X. I think
he's an X. For this team, he's the X. He has to be.
We'll get to that. This team needs an X still. This team still needs an X.
But if this Hollywood is the Brown, team here, he is.
Yeah. Well, that's why we're going to do a mock draft. This isn't the team
here. Oh, I'm Kramer's ooh, dance, what's the Chiefs going to pick at 32 on Rocky's mind? If they trade up at least.
If they pick at 32, Kramer's dance, don't put words in Brett Veach's mouth. I'll put words in Brett Veach's mouth because I'm drafting for the Chiefs on this podcast. But no, he is 100%. I think that his best usage on this team is lining up in a Y, and he's kind of that move piece between Y and slot. And then him, that gives them the freedom to do whatever they want with Rashee Rice. But Hollywood Brown, he's your jet sweep guy. He can hit it from the slot. I mean, He's a wide receiver screen guy. Like, so basically anything you wanted to do with, say, Mecole Hardman, Kadarius Toney, all of those things, you could do with Hollywood Brown. Plus, you can also stretch the field like you wanted to do with MVS as well, right? He's not the same size as MVS, but he has that same, like deep ball stretch the field over the top, you know, post, seam, whatever you want, route, like ability to beat guys. He just beats them with speed instead of, you know, size and height, like MVS kind of did. And so that really frees. So if you bring in a legit X receiver, then you are 100% free to do whatever you want with Rashee Rice. And you can just interchange him and Hollywood Brown however you want, and then keep your one true X wide receiver on the outside. And that's when this team gets dynamic, right? That's when this offense is dangerous, and you don't have any idea what they're going to do. They're shifting guys around. And so I am 100% excited. I think that this is a huge piece to the puzzle. Do I think the puzzle is complete yet? No. But is this a huge piece to it? Heck yeah. Heck to the mother freaking yeah. Yeah, I think it is. And I'm stoked about it. I'm so stoked about it.
You should be. This is great. This is awesome. Like, you can at least feel more confident now that if they say they're going to go out there to three-peat, well, they're sticking their flag, the Chiefs flag, right in the ground saying, hey, we're doing this. That's what they're doing.
They're going to score some more points, hopefully, it seems like.
Oh, they need to. That offense was bad last year.
What this does is this puts Kadarius Toney on notice. This puts Sky Moore on notice. Because the role that those guys wanted to play is the role that that Marquise Brown is now fulfilling. So those guys are going to have a battle to make a roster spot in camp, I think, right? Like, Sky Moore is not a lock to make this roster this year.
No.
Kadarius Toney is not a lock to make the roster this year, right? And so I think that as the Chiefs continue to, I think they're going to add another piece. And is it going to be another free agent like Tyler Boyd? Maybe. That'd be a guy that to keep your eye on. You know, Josh Reynolds. He gets signed, Josh Reynolds?
Yes, he did. Back with the
Lions. Josh Reynolds is gone. Yeah, Josh Reynolds is gone off the market. So I mean, but if it's a guy like that, then maybe. But I really think they're going to look to the draft for it and maybe try to find somebody a little bit more dynamic. Spoiler alert. So Chiefs, great job. We applaud you, Brett. Killing it as always. You have our seal of approval so far in this offseason. Other big story in the Chiefs offseason right now is the L'Jarius Sneed situation. The whole will they or won't they? There's rumors everywhere. Nobody seems to know anything. It almost seems to be a little bit like a battle between your like social media scoop artists, right, and the traditional newspaper journalists. The traditional newspaper journalists out there are saying, teams saying nothing's in the works. There's no deal in place, yada, yada, yada. All your internet scoop guys are saying they're just trying to sort out the contract with L'Jarius Sneed. The Chiefs and the Colts have already agreed on the compensation, but Sneed wants more money than the Colts are willing to offer. And that's the only thing holding it up. But both teams think that they're going to come to an agreement and that L'Jarius Sneed is going to be traded to the Colts, right? With that being said, the compensation that's being floated is a third rounder plus another 2025 pick. Is that overwhelming compensation by any means? No. Is it disappointing? Maybe. Do I think Sneed's worth more than that? Yeah. Does the market dictate the price? Definitely. So, I mean, especially if a team feels like they need to pay more money, maybe they're not willing to give up as much in compensation, which is kind of a counterintuitive argument. To be honest, like if you think of guys, if they end up paying L'Jarius Sneed $19 million for a 3-year contract or $20 million a year, or maybe say 60 for 3 years, whatever, then you would think that in your mind, you value that guy as something more than a third round draft pick. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
So you just don't want to give up the compensation for it. So we'll see what it is. I would honestly like dream scenario would be Chiefs trade 32 and Sneed to move up to 15. Like that seems like a fair, that's what that means. This needs about the value of a second rounder ish. Yep. And that seems fine. That seems like it. That seems like a fair compensation. Right. And no, the Colts aren't losing any draft picks. They're just moving back and they're gaining Legarius Sneed, right? I don't think that's going to happen, but that would be a situation that I think would be cool. That being said, what do you think's going on with Sneed, Graham?
It's weird because that report came out Saturday morning, and it was interesting because there was a three-hour window. Then there was a little story that said, "Oh, nothing. It's still in the works, still being discussed." It's like, what are we doing here at this point in time? It's been a day and a half of recording this, and by the time this is posted out, who knows if the deal's actually going to happen or not? I don't think it will. I don't. I think Legarius Sneed stays here in Kansas City. He's getting paid $19 million just to play this season alone. I mean, that is a lot more money than what he's been getting from his previous contract. So this is, I mean, he's still getting paid, if you want to say it that way, with the Chiefs. But I don't think, even if it is a third and maybe 2025 later round pick, that's still not worth enough for Legarius Sneed. I think Sneed stays. I don't think this trade's going to happen. I think he stays here in Kansas City because even if they do trade away Sneed, there's a extra big hole on the defensive side now because you need to replace a guy that is caliber of Legarius Sneed's movement, mobility, mindset, all of it, his physicals. Like, you're losing a big piece on defense if you end up trading him for a third and a second or a fifth or a fourth from next year's draft.
I agree. It does leave a hole. I think that the Chiefs secondary, if it's one place on the Chiefs defense that can cushion the blow like that, it is in the secondary. I think that's an extremely talented unit. I think if there's one area that Brett Veach has shown that he can scout and draft, it's secondary, right? He's overwhelmingly in free agency. He's signed great secondary players. He's drafted great secondary players. And then Dave Merritt, I mean, dear God, Dave freaking Merritt might be the best secondary coach in the NFL. If you want a guy who's going to coach guys up and make them into something, like, why isn't Dave Merritt a defensive coordinator somewhere? Like the man is a genius when it comes to developing men and developing players. So if there's one person who I trust to take a rookie and then develop them to step into those shoes, it's Dave Merritt, right? And there's a couple guys in this draft that nobody's going to be Sneed. You're not going to replace Sneed, but you can find guys that kind of do what Sneed does a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm of two minds. Like, when we do this draft, there's one part of me that wants to draft this based upon Sneed being here and one that drafts it based upon no Sneed. And I think that those are two different things, right? Because that means that, hey, yeah, you do suddenly have a need in the secondary. And so if you get to 32 or earlier, we don't know what's going to happen. And there's a person there that you want, do you go up and get them? And then you just plug a stud right into that hole where Legarius Sneed is no longer. And then you address something else later in the draft, right? So we'll see what happens when it comes time for the Chiefs to pick in this mock draft. But I think that ultimately with the Sneed situation, it's a win-win for Sneed and the Chiefs, right? Either Sneed is either playing on a one-year $19 million contract, making more money than he's ever made before, chasing a three-peat with the team that drafted him, or he's going and getting the bag and setting up his family for generational wealth, right? And for the Chiefs, they either are getting additional swings of the bat in this draft, or they're holding on to Legarius Sneed and keeping their elite secondary intact. So I think no matter what happens, it's a win. There is no lose in this situation for the Chiefs right now. What do I think is going to happen? I'm still leaning towards he gets traded. Is he going to get traded today, tomorrow, like whatever? I mean, while I'm talking about it right now, he's probably getting traded as we speak.
I'm refreshing.
I got Twitter open. I am. I'm refreshing Twitter.
I'm refreshing X.
Oh, well, let me know what they say on X, and I'll let you know what they say on Twitter.
All right, sweet.
I'm actually on Blue Sky Social as well.
You know, I got declined.
You got declined. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you have to be an elite, you know.
You can't be a Gen Z, apparently, not to be in on
Blue. Yeah. Well, yeah. They probably just saw that you're a Raiders fan, and they were like, ah, you know, this guy.
Okay.
Nah, forget this guy. We want only winners. We want winners on Blue Sky Social. But yeah, no. So I think it's a win-win for the Chiefs, no matter what happens. All right. Let's talk a little bit more free agency here. So the whole, like, will they, won't they with Justin Fields, where is he going? That's taken care of. Justin Fields was traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a fourth rounder, was it? Right?
It was a sixth rounder. Next year.
A 2025 sixth rounder.
And that could be for his performance, could go to a fourth rounder of next
That's
year's
why
draft.
I was thinking fourth rounder. Yep. Oh my goodness.
So if he doesn't play at all, if he's behind Russell Wilson this entire time, they're just getting a sixth rounder out of him. Oh, Bears.
Why even trade him at this point then?
Exactly.
Like why did you even trade him? Like, you could have waited till after the draft to trade him. You could have waited till after the first round, right? Like there is at least 8 or 9 teams in this draft that need quarterbacks, and there's like 5 quarterbacks. Somebody is not going to get a quarterback coming out of the first round that they want, right? Like, Michael Penix Jr. is going to be gone, you know, by the early second round if he lasts that long. And then there's going to be, what, Spencer Rattler? Like, you're going to say that you'd rather have Spencer Rattler than Justin Fields at this point in his career? Like, are you kidding me? Like, hold on to him at least until the end of the first round, and then see who's desperate, right? And then say, hey, give me your second rounder, and you can have him. There's a team out there that would do that trade. Like, Ryan Poles, like, come on, man. Like, you're smarter than that. Like, that's my opinion. Like, he made so many good moves. He's made so many good moves.
He's also made so many bad moves as well. Like, is this Keenan Allen trade going to work out? I mean, Keenan Allen can barely stay on the field.
Yeah, but they didn't give up a lot for Keenan Allen.
That's true, but
Keenan Allen?
Still getting the fourth round pick for them. So, like, they're just still trading.
Would you have traded a fourth round pick for Keenan Allen?
Not really, no.
Oh, I would in a heartbeat.
He's a good route runner.
In a heartbeat. Yeah.
But that's
– yeah, I just wouldn't
let him play. He's got to get open, though.
12. I wouldn't let him play until week 12. And then just take him for the playoff push. The Bears traded Justin Fields for peanuts. The Chargers had no money, and they owed a lot of money. And so the Chargers at one point were like $60 million over the cap at one point this offseason. They ended up having to part ways with Mike Williams and then also trade Keenan Allen. In the course of this offseason, they lost Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, and Mike Williams. Jim Harbaugh is taking over as head coach there with a very depleted offense. Because they also had Tyler Guyton. He was a free agent this year as well.
Yep.
And their tight end too. I think they lost their tight
Gerald
end.
Gerald Everett. Yes, he's also gone.
Gerald Everett is also gone. So this Chargers offense is completely like bereft of talent at this point. You know that Jim Harbaugh wants to run the ball, which is hilarious because he was a quarterback. He's a quarterback who hates to throw the ball. And if you ever watched Jim Harbaugh play football back in the 90s, that's what he played like. He was a quarterback who hated to throw the football. And even now, he hates to throw the football. And the Chargers are just completely a gutted shell. I feel like they're waving the white flag on this year. They're going to try to build through the draft because they have no choice but to build through the draft this year. I think they're going to try to play like a smash mouth mode of football. And we know how that works against Kansas City. You got to score points and you got to jump out on top of Patrick Mahomes and get a lead. If you want to win. So I don't think the Chargers are going to be much of anything in 2024. What minder are you about the Chargers and their offseason so far, Crane?
I love what the Chargers have done with their offense. You can at least can count them out of possibly being a running mate to, you know, go against the Chiefs in this AFC West battle for the title, because it's not going to happen with the Chargers now. A team that has no offense that we have yet to see. I mean, Quentin Johnson's your number one leading receiver, and he couldn't even catch a cold last season because of all the drops that he had. I'm so happy they didn't draft Zay Flowers last season, because that would be dangerous if it was just Zay Flowers there right now. But that's not the case, though. I'm curious what the Chargers are going to do now in this draft. Is it going to be a Blake Cormess? That's their first-round draft pick going to be, because he was the lead tailback for Jim Harbaugh in his Michigan days. I guess we'll have to find out and see, because there's so many holes. I'm happy for it. I think Chiefs Kingdom should be happy for it. I think the Broncos country and Raiders Nation should also be happy for it too, knowing that the little brother, the little cousin that you didn't like is still going to be bad in this division.
Here's the Chargers draft. Round one, Blake Corum. Round two, Roman Wilson. Round three, A.J. Barter. Round four, they're trading everybody, all their picks for next year to draft their defensive lineman from Michigan for next year.
Yep, that's what's going to happen.
Maybe what it'll actually be is Chris Jenkins round one, Roman Wilson round two, Blake Corum round three, right?
Possibly.
And then A.J. Barner round four. You know, but and
Cornelius Johnson there as well.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Cornelius Johnson is a UDFA.
Maybe. Yep. So many undrafted free agents are going to be signing out of Michigan with the Chargers.
Yeah. He's going to go for both of their linebackers as well. You know, he's going to try to take that championship team. Watch. He's going to trade Justin Herbert for, I'm just kidding. All right, so that happened. The Broncos are screwed. The Broncos have no money. They decided to pay Russell Wilson $87 million to not be on their team. Also currently don't have a quarterback as well. They are a quarterback desperate team. Like, if you want to talk about a team that has to trade up in the draft to get a quarterback, it's the Denver Broncos. Denver Broncos don't have any option but to trade up in this draft to try to get a quarterback. And because guess what? There's not going to be the one they want there at 12. All the ones they want are going to be gone. And you're not going to sit there. Sean Payton's not going to sit there and roll with another quarterback that he doesn't believe in after doing this. So they're going to have to trade up and try to get a quarterback in this draft. So, I mean, it's just great to see the Chargers and the Broncos just completely just obliterating themselves to pieces. Like, they're just self-inflicted wounds. Like, what was it that the samurais used to do? Like the ritualistic suicide,
the sword through the stomach or something like that.
Yeah, what was that called?
I don't know about that, Rocky. Good gosh,
you don't know what that was? Man, no. Well, that's basically what they did to their roster this year. Let's be honest.
I love them getting rid of Russell Wilson. The fact that he's also in Pittsburgh now too. I'm hoping he throws this entire babyface angle run. Maybe he leads the Steelers to a playoff run. That'd be kind of sweet. That'd be actually kind of funny. It'd be kind of ironic too because of the Broncos paying him just to do that. I love this. This is a good time, seriously, to be a Chiefs fan and Raiders fan if you're in the AFC West because of this happening. And now them needing a quarterback, there's only one team in the early first round that doesn't need that, and that's the Atlanta Falcons, and that's the only way that I think they can trade up.
Oh, 100%. It's the only place they can legitimately trade up. And just for those who were curious, it was Seppuku or Harikiri.
Yeah, like I knew that.
That was the two things that it was called. It was a code of honor, but yeah, that's essentially what they did to their rosters. They perform ritualistic harakiri on their rosters. But there's still one more team in the AFC West who's made some free agent moves, you know,
and some great free agent moves.
I mean, they made free agent moves. I don't know if I call them great.
I mean, signing Christian Wilkins is huge, and having Gardner Minshew.
They signed a good move in free agency in Christian Wilkins. Like, that's a great move. I love Christian Wilkins. He's awesome.
What I'm curious is, what were they were about to offer a bag to Chris Jones. That's what I'm curious about. Because if you saw the guaranteed money that Christian Wilkins got, I think it was $84 million, it had to be somewhat close of them as getting as close as possible to the Chris Jones-esque deal, and it just never happened because you know the Chiefs would never want to trade Chris Jones in division. That was never going to happen whatsoever.
The Chiefs were never going to let Chris Jones walk straight.
I don't know why I said trade. Thankless need.
They were never going to let that happen. But Antonio Pierce talking all offseason about they have like the secret to being the Chiefs and they have their Mahomes rules. Like, okay, Christian Wilkins is part of the Mahomes rules to beat the Chiefs. Gardner Minshew, he's part of your master plan to beat the Chiefs.
I love this deal. Like,
Gardner Minshew is your doppelganger. Like, basically, are you the secret to beating the Chiefs?
The funny thing is, I dressed up as Gardner Minshew a few Halloweens ago when he had his cougar shirt on with jorts. Yeah, I did the exact same thing. I think it's hilarious. The fact that he's going to have Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew battle it out and training camps to see who's going to be the number one quarterback. I mean, if you're going to do the Mahomes rules, Aiden O'Connell's already beat Patrick Mahomes. Why don't you just keep him against him? But Minshew there throws some makes it interesting. He's a gamer.
I mean, the AFC West is just rolling over and just saying, here, Chiefs, take the AFC West for another time. Like,
we'll see about that. We'll see about that. Okay. I think the only team in this division now that could flirt with possibly dethroning them is Las Vegas, but it's still there's a big gap still between the Raiders and Chiefs. You know what I mean?
It's closing. I know what you mean. One has Patrick Mahomes as their quarterback and Andy Reid as their head coach. The other has Antonio Pierce and Gardner Minshew.
Hey, best quads in the game at quarterback.
Best quads. That's what you look for in your quarterback. You say, I want a guy who has great legs.
Keeps the lower half to the ground.
I want a guy with Tina Turner legs at quarterback. I want to be able to run out there in a mini skirt and just look.
Okay.
Like he just finished at Milan Fashion Week. Just looking great in pumps running across the field. That's what you want in your quarterback. That's I know. I mean, I'm with you, bro. Like,
it's all about the looks.
Yeah, he's got the looks. He's a handsome young man. I will give you that. All right. We got to get on track here, Crame. All right. So
draft.
Let's dive into this mock draft, baby. Here we go. The way we're going to do this is Crame's going to take the odds. That way that he can draft for the Raiders. I'm going to take the evens because I'm not letting a Raiders fan draft for my Kansas City Chiefs. You will not control our destiny, Kramer. I control our destiny. You As control you your team's destiny. Gosh darn it. So that being said, we're going to get going to kick this thing off. I'm going to do my best. What is it? I'm going to do my best commissioner voice. Welcome to the 2024 NFL draft in Detroit, Michigan. I hereby declare this draft open. The Chicago Bears are on the clock. All right, Crane, what are you doing with this first pick? What do you think that what do you think the Bears should do? They've had a very active free agency thus far.
Yeah, but the biggest tell that this team needs is a quarterback, and they don't have a quarterback on this roster whatsoever. And with Justin Fields being traded away, you go with the best quarterback in this draft, and you got to draft Caleb Williams. He's the best quarterback in here on tape, on paper, and it's the most logical thing there for them. And getting rid of Justin Fields opens the door for Caleb Williams owning a stake in the Chicago Bears.
I agree with you 100%. I'm not a Caleb Williams believer, but there's no other path for them to take at this point. It's almost like I wasn't really a Kyler Murray believer the year he came out, but sitting at one, what else were the Cardinals going to do? They didn't really have another option, right? So, all right. So with the very first pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears are taking Caleb Williams. All right. Washington Commanders, you're on the clock. What? Same thing. Washington Commanders, they traded away Sam Howell, right? They have new ownership, new head coach. They don't really have any other choice than to go quarterback here, right? What else would they possibly do? They signed Marcus Mariota. They're not going to roll with Marcus Mariota. The new ownership isn't going to say we're rolling with Marcus Mariota. They signed Austin Eckler, so they're going to want a guy that can engage him in the passing game. They brought in Zach Ertz, so. You want to tell me that team is planning on taking a rookie quarterback? Tell me that they brought in the best receiving back in the NFL in Austin Eckler and a veteran tight end as a safety blanket in Zach Ertz, right? And then they just loaded up on the defensive side of the ball. So you know they're not taking a defender, right? And so, and I just want to see Nick Allegretti be successful wherever he goes. So I really want the Commanders to be good this year. So with that, they're going to go with the second quarterback taken in this draft. Now, the question is it Jaden Daniels or is it Drake May? I still believe that it's Drake May at this point. I could see it being Jaden Daniels, But when you look at the offense that they want to run there, I think that it lends itself more to Drake May. So I'm going to say Drake May with the second pick in the NFL draft.
That's an interesting pick. I would have gone Jaden Daniels in there. And now that the Patriots are on, they are clearly in a dire need of a quarterback. I know they signed Jacoby Brissett to a 1-year deal. They also got some guys like Jalen Reagor. He re-signed with them. KJ Osborne re-signed with the Patriots today. Kendrick Bourne re-signed with them. So you at least can be confident in some other wide receiver core. They also got Austin Hooper at a free agency. They re-signed Hunter Henry. So you got to go quarterback, and you have to take the best quarterback on the draft. And with that being Jaden Daniels, which I say fell to the Patriots, is a great deal for the Patriots.
I agree. I think that they do go Jaden Daniels, and for the same reason why I think that the Commanders are going quarterback. Like you re-signed Hunter Henry, you brought in Antonio Gibson, and then you got a bunch of veteran wide receivers. Like you're trying to build this offense to be rookie friendly is exactly what you're trying to do. All right. So Arizona Cardinals, you're on the clock. This is where I think the phone starts to ring.
Really?
Right? Like
I think that
at this point, because teams are going to want to know that they have to get up in front of the New York Giants if they want to get a quarterback. Right. And so it's either Arizona or it's San Diego, right? At this point, that they're going to have to trade up with, because if the rumors are true that JJ McCarthy is like this darling of the NFL scouting departments right now, then I think that the phone rings. What I also think happens is the Arizona Cardinals say, "I'm not answering my phone." Because the greatest wide receiver prospect of this generation is sitting on the board here right in front of me. And I would give up 3 first-round draft picks in order to have the opportunity to take Marvin Harrison Jr. And I have the opportunity to take Marvin Harrison Jr. So whatever you're offering me isn't enough for me to move off of this pick. And I'm taking Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah. If this happens and plays out, if the Cardinals do not take Marvin Harrison Jr., they're idiotic. That's just, I'll leave it out to that. And then now since, oh no, a wide receiver just got taken off the board. I'm the Chargers. You lost Big Mike Williams. You lost Keenan Allen. You go get you Malik Nabers right now. I wouldn't even answer the phone call. Like, you can let these guys drop and fall quarterbacks-wise, because I don't think this is a strong quarterback draft class whatsoever. So if I'm the Chargers, knowing that the best one's gone, go get the second best in Malik Nabers, and you shouldn't be disappointed. And he's clearly your best wide receiver on the team now, even though you have Quentin Johnston with them.
100%. I think that that's exactly what happens. I think that both of these teams' phones are going to be ringing off the hook, and they're just going to ignore it. Like, they're going to, like, I don't even know if they're going to take their time. Like, they're going to say, all right, if Marvin Harrison Jr. is there, we're taking him. If Malik Nabers is there, we're taking him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I don't think they're, they're entertaining.
And with this now, the trend, possibly this, the Giants can literally do anything with your pick.
Yeah. Now this is the point where the phone's still going to be ringing for people with the Giants who want to move up. You know, like, I think that Las Vegas is going to be calling. I think Denver's going to be calling. I think that, heck, Minnesota's going to be calling. Like, there's a lot of teams that are going to be calling to try to move up at this point. But I also think that New York thinks that they need a quarterback, right? Like, I think that they have buyer's remorse with Daniel Jones at this point. Would you disagree with that?
I don't think they had buyer's remorse. He was hurt majority enough all of last year. So it's not like we could have gotten a big gauge on what Daniel Jones could do in a second year's worth of offense with Daboll. So I don't think they go quarterback. I think they go wide receiver, because there's no wide receiver on that team for a quarterback to throw to. So why would you draft a quarterback if you have no targets for you?
I think you're right, honestly. Especially since they did sign Drew Lock and Devin Singletary. They traded for Brian Burns. I could see them possibly going offensive tackle. They signed Jermaine Illuminor. Is that how you pronounce that?
Illuminor. But he's your left tackle now, or your right tackle now.
Yeah. I could see myself going alt here, but I don't think I can pass up on. I mean, maybe Brock Bowers, because they didn't really seem to be too enthralled with Darren Waller last year. They still have Darren Waller, but he was injured. But Brian Daboll, I mean, he does like utilizing the wide receivers. I'm gonna go. I think he probably wants Roma Dunze. I'm gonna take Roma Dunze here.
That's who I have. Which is like we're on par with what I was doing earlier. So this is great. So now with the Titans. All right.
Tennessee Titans. What are the Titans going to do?
This actually, I think the door opened earlier this week with Andre Dillard being released. That's your left tackle. And you got your best tackle out there. But Joe Alt, there's no more that we need to discuss here. Joe Alt's there. The Titans need to protect Will Levis. Joe Alt's the guy. Joe Alt will be a Titan.
Yeah, especially with the top three wide receivers being off the board and they already took Calvin and they already paid Calvin Ridley. I think that they're setting themselves up for a tackle here. So Joe Alt to the Tennessee Titans. All right. Now, here's where we start to get a little interesting because we have the Atlanta Falcons on the clock right now. And they went out and they gave the bag to Kirk Cousins. So they're out of the quarterback running now. They also went out and gave a decently sized bag to Darnell Mooney. They traded for Rondale Moore. They signed Ray McLeod. They have Kyle Pitts and Drake London. Like, they have all of the offensive weapons. What they don't have is a defensive lineman. Now, do you like any of these defensive linemen enough to take them ninth overall? Or are you listening to a team like, say, the Minnesota Vikings who want to move up and take J.J. McCarthy?
Is it going to be the Vikings or is it going to be the Broncos moving up?
Well, I think it's a bidding war. Exactly. So how are we going to handle this? Okay. I am the GM for the Atlanta Falcons. I'll let you choose which team you want to be the GM for to try to make
a trade. I'm 11, so I'm odd, so I'll be the Vikings here.
All right. Let's open this up. Eighth overall pick, and we won't 100% listen to their draft value chart here. But all right, so the Vikings currently have a number 11, number 23, and then they don't have anything until 108. How are they going to make this trade happen?
The thing is, the Vikings can't make this trade happen. It just won't work out unless you trade, I believe, both your first round picks in order to make this happen. If you want to go out there and get your guy, you trade up to get him with two first round picks. The Falcons will definitely take that hands off, but I'm the Vikings. I'm sorry, I can't trade up. I value my two picks worthwhile of filling out this team. We just signed Sam Darnold. We might run with Sam Darnold this year. This is a rebuilding type of year for the Vikings.
So then it's Justin Jefferson in his last year of his contract saying, I want to trade.
Basically, that's what's going to happen. Yeah, because you can't – this is the Vikings need these two first-round picks, and they need to hit on these two first-round picks. You can't trade up unless you are willing to wait till pick 108 in order to get your next person.
Yeah. Okay, so then are the Denver Broncos in a better position to make this trade? They don't have a second rounder either.
I mean, you would also have to dip into your first round pick, which is 12. I think you'd go for a first round pick of next year because you're the Broncos. You are more desperate right now than the Vikings that need a quarterback. So they have a plug-and-play quarterback now, Sam Darnold, for the Vikings. Who's the quarterback for the Broncos right now? Russell Wilson has got traded. I have no idea. It could be you. They might be calling you right now, Rocky, to play quarterback for the Broncos. So if I'm the Broncos, I'm going all in. I tell you what,
this arm is still alive, baby.
Let's go.
Back in the day, I could throw, bro. I got a good arm. Sean Payton, I am as tall as Russell Wilson. So that's not saying much, but I mean, I'm as tall as you are too, Sean Payton. We need to be, you know, short kings, bro. It's all good. Okay, so do you think that the Denver Broncos, what are we saying, 12 in round one of 2020?
Yeah,
it would have to be 12 to 8.
Yeah.
And if I'm Atlanta, I think I want an extra sweetener.
Yeah, of course you do.
I would ask for 76 and see what they say, and you would have to probably come back and counter.
Of course, yeah. You would have to get an extra pick later on in the draft this year in order to help this out.
So, like, what? So, what if I said 12 and round 2025 round one, pick 12, pick 76 for pick 8, and pick
109, 143.
I could do 109 or 143. We'll say.
I do mean, 109. Really. Make it look nice.
All right. So there's our trade. All right. Denver Broncos, you're on the clock, and I'm picking for this one, I guess, right?
So yeah, it's the funny thing is it's both your it's both even picks. So
they are both even picks. Okay, so we're taking JJ McCarthy. Like, we didn't trade up to take anybody but JJ McCarthy. That's the guy we wanted. So there we go, JJ McCarthy. You are a Denver Bronco. All right, Chicago Bears back on the clock.
Yeah, they would probably field some phone calls about this pick, but then they might realize that, hey, we still need defense to help out our pass rush with Montez Sweat, who played phenomenal back half of the season after that trade. And I mean, they've already made some moves around them as well on that defensive side by improving the secondary with Jalen Johnson, and they sort of signing him with that. I mean, Kevin Byard as safety there, they got him. But you got to get that another pass rush. And that pass rush you're going to get out of Alabama with Dallas Turner. You can compare him next to on the opposite side of Montez Sweat. You're going to have a fun time on defense there for the Bears. And, yeah, Dallas Turner to the Bears.
Dallas Turner's a fun pass rusher to watch. I go back and forth on if I like him or Jared Verse better.
Really?
But Dallas Turner's not – I mean, nine is about the range that I would say that he'd start being considered. And, yeah, I agree with that there. So, Dallas Turner to Chicago. All right, Jets. You're on the clock. You want a wide receiver. There's no real wide receivers here. I think at this point you take a value pick for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you're all in on Aaron Rodgers this season, right?
Yep.
You got to keep him upright, no matter what. And in free agency so far for the New York Jets, let's just recap it really quick so we can kind of know what we're up against with them. They brought in Tyrod Taylor to have a competent backup, so they don't have to ever start Zach Wilson. They signed Morgan Moses. They signed Tyron Smith. They signed John Simpson. They invested heavily in the offensive line, which tells me that they want an offensive weapon to pair with Aaron Rodgers. The best offensive weapon on the board right now is tight end Brock Bowers. He's a movable piece. He's more like a big slot than anything. I think that they give Aaron Rodgers a guy that he can pair with Garrett Wilson. And really kind of just attack from the slots. But you can also play Brock Bowers a little bit on the outside too. The lineup is a wide tight end. I think that you don't pass up on this much value at this point. So I'm going to go Brock Bowers.
I love it. I love that move.
All right. Number 11 on the clock, the Minnesota Vikings, the team who could not move up.
So they could not move up because their guy is still there on the board for them. I think the sneaky team that's going to get a quarterback in Bo Nix is going to be the Minnesota Vikings. I think most teams, majority of teams, will like Bo Nix more than the lefty Michael Penix. It's just, I just don't know why, but I think Michael Penix is just going to fall and fall and fall because his age and also his injury history. That's why I think Bo Nix is a guy, and the Vikings need a quarterback. Like I said, the only thing they've done is get Sam Darnold on this team. They could not get the guaranteed money correct with Kirk Cousins, and now he's in Atlanta. So get your quarterback, and you got him. You don't have to trade up for him, and Bo Nix.
I agree. Bo Nix is a coach's kid. Coaches love coaches' kids, mm-hmm. right? They see them. They see their own kids in them. So, he QB'd a very electric offense this year. So, okay, no arguments there. All right, pick 12. All right, Atlanta Falcons, you are back on the clock. Now that we've traded out of the position, we're looking at they're not going to go wide receiver at this point. The best tight end, they're not going to go tight end anyway, but the best tight end is off the clock. They still need defensive line help, and they need defensive back help here, right? Normally, I think that the Falcons are one of the few teams that like to draft guys from their own state, and that I think they like UG guys. like UGA guys, but there's not really anybody up here that they're going to want to take, you know, from Georgia. So I'm leaning going, like, you think about positional value, defensive line slightly out edges out defensive back. I think for me, the best defensive lineman in this draft is Byron Murphy II. I think the guy is just a game wrecker. He has a low center of gravity. He's strong as an ox. There is no beating him. I'm going to say that Byron Murphy II is the 12th overall pick for the Atlanta Falcons.
I like it. I like it. Now that brings to the Las Vegas Raiders on the clock.
This is your big moment, Raider Nation. Don't let them down. Let them down. Give them somebody they want. If you don't like this pick, Raider Nation, if you're hearing this, attack Kramer.
Please do.
On X.com.
They've only done four moves so far this offseason, with Gardner Minshew signing him. They re-signed Amir Odula. They also re-signed Andre James, and they've gave the bag to Christian Wilkins. This defense may have been better last year, but it's also time to continue to add to that defense, especially the secondary. You lost Amik Robertson to free agency, so it obviously clears up a hole for need of a corner. And Nate Hobbs can't do it himself. And I think they go to Toledo and they get the McQuinion Mitchell, the fastest dude corner on out there for him. You know, Al Davis would be proud. Mark Davis would be proud as well. So, Mitchell is going to be drafted to the Raiders.
I mean, it's the only thing that'd be more Raiders is for them to go Nate Wiggins.
Oh, right. At this pick. That's true. But here's the thing. You don't have Mike Mayock, who loves Clemson players, not in this organization anymore.
That's true. And so Quinion Mitchell is a great cover cornerback. He's an excellent player. I don't have anything bad to say about this pick other than he's surely going to fail because he plays for the Raiders.
They haven't drafted a good cornerback to stay on this team in a very long time.
So it's
probably Woodson.
My deepest condolences to the death of your career, Quinion Mitchell, that you got drafted by the Raiders. And so you're
welcome to Raiders Nation. Fail.
Ah, man. Enjoy your fan base on Twitter. Greats like Raider Cody, who's just the most toxic human being on the face of the planet.
I kind of agree.
You're the one good one. You're the good one, Kramer, of that whole fan base.
I'm real.
I have something else to say. You're not the only good one. Amy Trask is a gem. I love her. She's great. She's a complete gem, right? So you and Amy Trask are the only two Raiders fans that I like.
Good.
All right. Quinion Mitchell to the Raiders. All right. The New Orleans Saints are on the clock. The Willie Gay team, Willie Gay and Colin Sanders and Tyrann Mathieu, otherwise known as the
Kansas City
as the Kansas City AARP.
Is Sorensen still there? No, he got released.
He got released. But Dan Sorensen was there at one point too. They signed all the Kansas City Chiefs. So they've had a very quiet free agency because they didn't have a lot of money. They've signed Willie Gay. They signed DeMario Davis. They signed Tyrann Mathieu, and they signed Cedric Wilson. None of those are really huge needle movers, right? I mean, I think that Willie Gay is going to start for them. I don't think they're going to go linebacker. I think that their needs remain the same. This is a place where I could, not in the first round, but I could see them circling Michael Penix's name as a player that they want, right?
Yeah.
Quarterbacks are notoriously overdrafted. I don't see any world where Michael Penix Jr. is drafted 14th overall in this draft. I think if somebody wanted to, their phone rings and somebody wants to trade up, they're listening to a trade back, right? If that phone call never comes and they have to draft, I think that they are going to go offensive tackle to try to protect their boy. And so I'm going to go with Olufashinu here to the New Orleans Saints to protect the blind side.
All right, Colts on the clock at 15.
Colts on the clock. Is it the Colts or is it the Chiefs? We don't know because the Jarius Sneed trade. We don't. Oh, so I guess we should probably decide this at this point in this universe that we're drafting on this timeline, right? Because we're in the Chiefs multiverse here.
Yeah.
Are we acting as if the Jarius Sneed is still on this roster or he's been traded?
Well, it just depends on how you want to argue this, because do you think they're going to trade away their first round pick to include that in that deal? Have we already seen reports of being a third?
No, but if they traded for the Jarius Sneed, they're not drafting a defensive back here.
That's true.
Right? And yeah. if the Chiefs traded away the Jarius Sneed, their needs are different in this draft versus if they still have him on.
So they were able to re-sign Michael Pittman to a 3-year $70 million with a max of 71. So that's also poses the question of, okay, are we going to add another weapon there for, Richardson. His name just blanked me. Are we going to add another weapon to him, or do we want to try to shore up this defensive side? I mean, they already re-signed Kenny Moore the second to a 3-year $30 million deal. They signed Zaire Franklin as well out of in free agency. That's pretty much what they've done enough, I guess. I think they trade for Legarius Sneed. I'm in camp that it's going to happen. But I don't want it to happen. It's just weird me talking about it, though. I think it's going to happen, but I don't know if it's for this 15th overall pick and adding.
Well, no, I don't think so either. We don't have to act like it's for the 15th overall pick.
But you would hope for it to be included.
Yeah, I think that we're going to act. Let's act based upon, just for argument's sake, for this draft, that they traded the Jarius Sneed for, we'll say the second round pick even, right? Okay. So they have their 15th round pick. The Jarius Sneed is on their roster. So
now they're on the clock. So with trade happening, they go get a wide receiver. I think they go get Brian Thomas Jr. It'd be two. I like the guy a lot. I don't know if this is a reach for it, but
I think they get Brian Thomas Jr.
I think they do. I like him a lot. I like him a lot.
Cut out my heart. Oh my gosh.
He's very high on my list. He's right under Malik Nabers.
This completely changes my entire draft approach for the Chiefs.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
I completely gutted and heartbroken.
But that's what the draft is about. We get these types of moments.
I know. We do get these types of moments, and it's going to change the way that I have to approach what I'm going to do with the Chiefs now. But that being said, before we get to that point, we are talking NFC East, and we are talking about the Seattle Seahawks. Well, not the NFC East, they're in the NFC North, right?
No, they're over on the West.
The West. Oh my gosh, the West. What am I talking about? East. Guys, I'm sorry. It's been a long I have two small children. It's been a long weekend. I spent a lot of time playing in a splash pad today with a toddler.
It was cold in Kansas City here.
Oh, it's hot here every day in Florida, people. All right, I'm sorry. Everybody forgive me for my geographic blunder. All right, Seattle Seahawks traded for Sam Howell. They also re-signed Noah Fant, signed Pharaoh Brown, signed George Fant at offensive tackle. They re-signed Leonard Williams. They lost Bobby Wagner to free agency. They signed Jerome Baker. They signed Terrell Dotson. They signed Artie Burns. Those are all kind of minor moves.
Jerome Baker, that was nice. It's a nice move.
Jerome Baker, that is a nice signing. They really need interior offensive line help. Nick Harris is not necessarily the answer. They also need an edge rusher, though. And so at this point, for positional value, like, you could go Jackson Powers Johnson, right? Or Talisse Fuaga, because I think he has short arms. I think he's going to end up getting pushed inside. But do you go edge rusher, just positional value over interior offensive lineman? We've seen interior teams place a premium on interior offensive lineman this offseason, though. Like, guards are just getting the bag left and right this offseason because of guys like Aaron Donald, who retired. You know, you enjoyed your – you know, you've earned everything you got in life, Aaron Donald. Enjoy your retirement. You're one of the greatest of all time. But because of guys like Christian Wilkins, because of guys like Chris Jones, right? These teams are stacking themselves up at, you know, on the interior offensive line, which really makes the Chiefs, Joe Thuney contract look awesome in hindsight. I got to go edge rusher here, though. I'm going to go Jared Verse out of Florida State. I think that he matches up well with what they want to do, and he gives them legit guy who just has a complete pass rush plan. And he would have been a first-round draft pick if he came out last year and he went back for another year, and I think he just got better. He honestly might be my edge one in this draft, so I'm taking Jared Verse.
Now the Jacksonville Jaguars on the clock at 17. Is this the range that we think we could possibly see the Chiefs trade up starting at 17?
Maybe. It still might be too rich for their blood. Because I don't see the Jags drafting a wide receiver here per se.
I don't either. But I, from what the Jags are on this team, and they acquired Mac Jones in free agent, not free agent. They acquired him from the Patriots. They signed Gabe Davis to a 3-year, $39 million deal. They also got Devin Duvernay in free agency. They got to shore up that inside with Azaria Cleveland and also Mitch Morris at center. Old friend alert there for the Chiefs. And it's like they could go draft a guard. They could go get themselves another corner, which I think I'm leaning more towards them getting a corner here or a possible guard. Like The corner that interests me here is a Teron Arnold out of Alabama, but the guard that I'm also looking at for them is Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon. I think one of those two dudes will get taken, either if it's the pick for them or pick now, but I think you have to go with best value with them, and I think you got to get Teron Arnold.
I agree. I don't hate that. I might argue that I think Cooper DeJean is a better player than Teron Arnold, but he's coming off an injury, and I think it's all just what flavor of ice cream you like better.
Exactly.
Both great players.
You also got to look at in division, the SEC opponents compared to the Big Ten, because Iowa's Big Ten opponents weren't the best or best marquee games out there. You also got to play that into a factor, but Iowa defense was amazing though last season.
And Cooper DeJean might be the best athlete in college football last year. He's just a pure athlete too. Mm-hmm. And he can play. And the thing with him, he can play slot. He can play out on the perimeter. He can also play safety. He can play in the box. He can kind of play everywhere. All right. Cincinnati Bengals are on the clock. What's the worst possible player I could give to Cincinnati? Cincinnati Bengals take a punter in the first round.
They take Iowa's punter.
Yeah, they take who we got, like special teams. All right, they're going to take Austin McNamara, punter from Texas Tech.
No, they would not. They do Troy Taylor, very out of anybody.
I'm not going to – I can't do that.
That'd be funny. That'd be good.
All right, they did, however, they did cut – they lost what, their right tackle in this free agency cycle.
Mm-hmm.
T. Higgins has on the franchise tag, but he's demanding a trade. But I don't know if they're necessarily going to give that to him. They still have Jamar Chase. They signed Mike Gesicki. They signed Drew Sample. They re-signed Drew Sample. They have Sheldon Rankins. They need offensive line help still. I want to give them Talise Fuaga, but I don't think that he's a tackle in the NFL. He has like 32-inch arms. Like, I don't think his arms are long enough. I think he's going to get moved inside. I think he's going to be one of the greatest guards in the NFL. He's going to be an all-pro guard, but I don't think he's going to stick a tackle. So for that, I'm going to give him J.C. Latham out of Alabama, who I have as my
big dude,
as my tackle two in this draft right now. I have him over Olu. I think that other teams might take Olu ahead of him, which is why Olu's off the board and he's still here, but J.C. Latham might be the strongest human being in this draft. He's so strong. And once he gets his hands on, he doesn't get him off. And the only reason why he played right tackle at Alabama was because Nick Saban said he knew that he had his right tackle solidified, and he started playing right tackle. He said, why move him from a place that he's great at? He could play left tackle, but then I just have to go find a right tackle, so I might as well just go find a left tackle. So I'm going to say J.C. Latham at pick 18 to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Now that the Rams are on the clock, that if you go back what they've done so far, they've got their guards already signed up and locked in for at least 3 years with Kevin Dotson and Jonah Jackson. They also got Cameron Curl for agency to get that secondary locked up. And, I mean, they also got Jimmy Garoppolo, the sexiest quarterback in the NFL.
And D-Rob. They brought D-Rob back.
That did. DeMarcus Robinson is back, yes. He actually had a great season with them last year. So they got quarterback already set up. They don't need to do anything there, but they needed defensive linemen now that OAD retired. And if it wasn't for you selecting, I can't think of his name already. The defensive tackle.
Byron Murphy.
But right now you have to go with the best defensive tackle there now. And it's gotta be Newton out of Illinois. I think you have to, Yeah, what were you about to say there?
I was going to say it's a steal at this point. The only reason why he's down this far is because of the Liz Frank injury. Yeah. And people are holding his production against him on the second half of the year. He was playing with a broken foot.
Yeah,
he played with a broken foot.
He has heart. He has the desire out there. I mean, Aaron Donald.
And he actually has bend. Like, you can move him to the edge if you have to. He can bend.
True.
As well on the outside.
I think they have to get their Aaron Donald replacement. I'm not saying he is the Aaron Donald replacement whatsoever. Aaron Donald's in a league of their own, but they got to get Newton out of Illinois.
100%. I agree. This is where I start to think, now that we're at pick 20 with the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think this is where the Chiefs trade-up range starts. And with Brian Thomas Jr. already being off the board, right?
Yeah.
I think I'm at least picking up the phone starting right now. Every team that picks from here on out, I'm picking up the phone and saying, hey, what's the price for your draft pick? I think that Pittsburgh wants to go defensive back. I think that it's still going to be too rich for the Chiefs' blood at this point. I don't think Pittsburgh's going to take a wide receiver, which is, I think, where the Chiefs want to go. So because of that, I'm not going to trade here. I start considering trading here, but I think that with Cooper DeJean sitting on the board, and we know that Pittsburgh loves their defenders, right? They know their defensive players. And I think that they just say, I can't pass up on this value right here. I want Cooper DeJean. And so they go out and they get Cooper DeJean. Because of that, Brett Veach holds. He holds. He's like, hold. Like, not yet, right? And he's playing that game a little bit. And so I'm going to say Cooper DeJean to the Pittsburgh Steelers here.
So now, does Brett call Miami? Do you think that will happen here? Because if I'm Miami, I think I could possibly trade out. Like, I could trade back a little bit. I need to – the cap on our end is very tight. And if we move back to a later first-round pick and possibly get a middle one to add to this team for a longer longevity of this team, this core, your nucleus you're trying to build right now, that should be the option.
100%, because I have to get in front of Philadelphia, though, still, I think. Mm-hmm. I think I still have to get in front of Philadelphia, and I have to at least get in front of Dallas. I think.
Yeah.
Right. Because my target, I think if I'm Brett Veach, being full transparency on this thing, my target is A.D. Mitchell right now. If A.D. Mitchell is there at 24, Dallas is taking him.
Yeah.
If Justin Jefferson demands a trade,
then A.D. Mitchell's going there. That
A.D. Mitchell could go right here. Regardless, the Eagles want to add more firepower to their offense, right? Mm-hmm. The Eagles are going to take a weapon if it's there. I think you have to get in front of these guys in order to do it. I mean, the Eagles added Devontae Parker. I don't think that that's going to keep them from trying to draft a guy like A.D. Mitchell. And A.D. Mitchell is that X receiver that unlocks the rest of the offense. He's that final piece of the puzzle, right, guys? Like, he's 6'3", 6'4". You know, he can stretch the field. He's fast, can jump. Runs good routes. He beat man coverage. I mean, I think this is a very, very deep wide receiver draft, but there's a drop off after A.D. Mitchell.
Here's also a thing too. With the recent Tyreek Hill stuff, are the Dolphins going to be drafting a wide receiver?
Possibly. Are the Chiefs going to be trading for Tyreek Hill?
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that will happen. But I'm willing to open this up to, if you want the Chiefs to trade up here, we can talk about that.
I do want the Chiefs to trade up here.
Okay. Let's see let's work this deal out.
Let's open it up. All right. So Miami. The Miami Dolphins are trading with the Kansas City Chiefs, who, let me find them here on the list really quick. I am having a hard time seeing their name. There they are. Okay. So, all right. So Miami Dolphins have pick 21. Chiefs are offering pick 32.
I would say 95.
I'll be willing to say 95 and a 2025 fourth rounder.
Yeah. I think that'd be a good deal for the Dolphins. Because right, so if you see back there, 95, they don't have a pick between 55 and 158. So that puts them right in the middle between there.
Yeah. They don't have a third rounder. And then it gives them another pick in 2025 when, after they've had to pay Tua, Tyreek Hill's getting really expensive. Jalen Waddle is coming up on the end of his contract.
Right. Works for me.
You're good. We're good with this.
Yep. I'll let you pick here now too.
Perfect. Thank you. I'll let you pick for Miami when it comes around to 32.
Okay. That works for me.
All right. For all the reasons that I just said, Kansas City Chiefs have to get another wide receiver. You're going for the three-peat. You have an elite defense, even though you lost Za'Darius Sneed. There are guys who you can take. We'll talk about at the end of this draft briefly to replace Sneed, but to kind of do some of the things that Sneed could do. I'm going to go Adonai Mitchell, and I'm going to go from wide receiver from Texas, and that's who the Chiefs are taking. All right. Philadelphia Eagles, you're on the clock.
Steven, it's you.
Oh, it's me. Oh, gosh, you're right. Well, at this point, I'm like, shoot, the Chiefs just scooped me. They got our guy. What am I going to do? I still want to stretch the field. I want to play football. I want to have a high power offense, but I don't know where I want to go with this. I'm not going to go Ladd McConkey. I think that the next guy who I have as like a borderline first round grade would be Troy Franklin. They also need defensive back help. And at this point, how do you pass up on Nate Wiggins at pick 22?
Yeah.
If you're the Philadelphia Eagles, I'm going to say Nate Wiggins, pick 22 to the Philadelphia Eagles. All right. Minnesota Vikings back on the clock.
So Minnesota, they've already made their pick with getting the quarterback in Bo Nix. Now they've already made some moves this offseason by bringing in defensive tackles, Jerry Tillery and Jonathan Bullard, but those are just plug and play guys that are just there to be rotational pieces. I think they go out and they get Byron Murphy the second for this next pick. He's clearly a guy. Did you take him already? I think you did.
You went like top 10, remember?
That's right. You're right. My brain. All right. Let me see. Scroll over on the right side over here with the players. Because if it's not going for a defensive tackle, where are we at?
We have Talisse Fuaga, Troy Fontenot. What position you want to look at?
Where am I at on my list?
Jackson Powers Johnson, Laiatu Latu.
Actually, with this actually could actually work out here too. They need to go get a guard. That's in the Powers guy.
Jackson Powers Johnson?
Yes.
All right.
I think that works for them, especially they're trying to build. Plus, it's also an Oregon guy that Bo Nix knows, so you at least can have that sort of connection already with the line.
Well, don't they also need a center, right? Too.
That's true, and he could play either one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's Bo Nix's center.
Yeah.
So
let's do this.
All right, Jackson Powers Johnson. Pick 23 to the Minnesota Vikings. All right, Jerry World, you're on the clock. The Dallas Cowboys are on the clock. They need wide receivers. They need running back. They need a lot, honestly. what are the Cowboys going to do in this draft? I think that they're kind of at the one of the situations where they kind of got to go best available person. They need to win this year though too, right? So it's always a little bit hairy. Like you never really know. Like they're a bit of a wild card. What are the Dallas Cowboys going to do on a year to year basis? I think that they go with the best, what they believe is the best offensive lineman on the board, because they lost Tyron Smith. Mm-hmm. They also need interior offensive line help. I'm going to say that they roll the dice on Talisse Fuaga, and they say we can at least move him inside if he doesn't work out at tackle. The other option would be Amarius Mims or Troy Fontenot. Troy Fontenot, I think, is a more plug and play person.
Mims is a big name, Jama. He's 6'8".
Yeah, he's a big mamma jamma, but he hasn't played a lot of football, and they need a guy who can start right away. I talked myself out to Talisse Fuaga. I think they want a guy who can play right away. It's gonna be Troy Fontenot. They're going Troy Fontenot out of Washington, starting left tackle to replace Tyron Smith.
So now with the Green Bay Packers on the list. They're out there looking for their needs are a guard, a corner, a tackle, safety, and a big need at linebacker. The thing is, the linebackers you probably shouldn't be drafting here in the first round, so we can just skip them away and worry about that in the second round for them. This one's difficult because if you could, for me, for my sake of looking at your screen, could you go to the corners real quick to see where we're at with who we have? Because I think they go defense. I think the offense they have is already solidified. So that's why I think like a Kool-Aid McKinstry seems kind of cool, a TJ Tampa as well. But I'm not sure if he would be a guy that you would want to try to get at round 25. But I think they go – I do think they go with a corner. So I think Kool-Aid McKinstry is the guy they're going to select.
Kool-Aid McKinstry, he's – if the Chiefs didn't go wide receiver in this draft and they were going to trade up, Kool-Aid McKinstry would be the guy that I would trade up for.
Because I had the Packers at first getting Nate Wiggins if he fell.
Yeah, full disclosure. I think Kool-Aid McKinstry is the closest thing there is to Legarius Sneed in this draft. The guy is a press man corner who is so confident in his abilities, who is awesome, awesome in run defense. If the Chiefs decided to trade up and take Kool-Aid McKinstry and then wait to take a wide receiver in round two, I'm completely happy. I think Kool-Aid McKinstry, he's not the most athletic corner in this draft, but he might be the best. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is awesome. So I think that this is a steal at 25 for Green Bay. All right. My home away from home, Tampa Bay Buccaneers are on the clock. Wow. What are we going to do with Tampa Bay? They're starting Baker Mayfield. they re-signed Mike Evans. They just, everything about Tampa Bay Buccaneers just screams wild card good. Yeah, right? Like they're good enough to make the wild card, but they don't, like, even no matter who you draft for them here, it's not going to put them over the top. They're always going to be just wild card good. They do need edge rush help here though, and so, but they also need interior offensive line help. I could go Laiatu Latu here. He's a ready-made pass rusher. I think that he would do really good in their defense. But I'm going to go with just the all-around good offensive lineman here, and I am going to go Talisse Fuaga here for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They love their guys who are like just big maulers on the inside. So Talisse Fuaga to the Buccaneers.
So already in this draft, the Cardinals got there. If I can talk, hold on. My gosh, Rocky, something went down my throat. Weird. Give me a second. All right. So
you're right there, buddy.
The Cardinals already, yeah, I don't know what was going on there. Still there. Good gosh. The Cardinals already got wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr. Now you got to turn your side to the defense. And if you could go for it on defensive tackles, I think they try to get that middle line pressure to be done so they can have at least a run stuffer for them. And Braden Fisk, I like him. I don't know if you want to go all the way up there. This could also be a trade out situation, but I don't feel like trading out there. And Braden Fisk is sitting there right for me, and I think I have to get him right. That dude is such a stud. He's like a lumberjack creation for the NFL. Like he's just raw power no matter what. He can chop down the trees of any sort of legs and arms of offensive linemen to get to the quarterback, and he can also stop the run. So he's impressive.
I'm on record multiple times saying I'm a huge Braden Fisk fan. I think he's awesome. Do I think he's a reach at 27? Sure. But I think we get this late in the first round, and anything from 27 to 40, if you like a guy in that range at all, then you might as well take him at 27, because he won't be there when next time you pick in the second half, right? And so if you don't want to miss out on the guy, you reach for the guy that you want instead of taking the risk that he's not there the next time you pick in the second half and trying to trust that he's going to fall to you. So Braden Fisk, 27, to the Cardinals. All right, I get the joy of picking for the Buffalo Bills for Bills Mafia as well. So let's take a look. What have the Buffalo Bills done in free agency so far? Not enough to fix the enormous gap between them and the Kansas City Chiefs. They signed Mitchell Trubisky at quarterback, so there's that. They signed Mac Hollins at wide receiver, Curtis Samuel. Man, they need a wide receiver. They need somebody else opposite Stephon Diggs. They lost Gabe Davis. They're going to have to go wide receiver here. There's no doubt about it. The only wide receiver here that would make any sense for them to take at this point in the draft, especially considering since Stephon Diggs is already kind of that smaller wide receiver, they need a bigger, like a taller field stretcher to replace Gabe Davis. They're going to go Troy Franklin right here out of Oregon. They have to. I mean, that maximizes, Josh Allen's big arm and gives them a guy who can win deep. All right.
This fell perfect Detroit to Dan Lions. Dan Campbell, I think, is either going to draft an edge rusher or he's going to draft a guard. And I know Graham Barton's listed as a tackle right now, but I think he's a true guard to be out there in the NFL. But a guy who is projected in the top 15, I believe, fell to you all the way at 29? I think it's top 15. Go up there. No, top 20 at least, 22. You got to get Ladu. You have to get him out of UCLA. He's a stud. He's a specimen. He's a Dan Campbell guy.
Yeah, and let's be honest. The only reason why Latu fell this far is because of his medical history.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think that at this late in the draft, you take a swing. You take a big swing on a guy who can put you over the top. You pair him up with Aiden Hutchinson, and you just get after the quarterback. Yeah, you just destroy opposing quarterbacks. So I think it's a great pick. All right, that puts the Baltimore Ravens on the clock. Baltimore Ravens need a wide receiver as well. They need offensive line help, too. They could go a couple of different directions here with this pick. They signed Derrick Henry, which tells you they're going to want to run the ball. They got Lamar Jackson. They're going to want to run the ball, but they still need offensive line help. But you just can't get around the fact that they need an offensive lineman. There's a team that I think wants to bet on like physical upside and athletic upside. It's the Baltimore Ravens. Mm-hmm. Really, let's talk about it. It's this pick is between Graham Barton and Amarius Mims. You have the ready-made guard who's just a good functional player, all around good player, or you have the possible freak show who's an unknown in Amarius Mims. I think the Baltimore Ravens go with the freak show here and go with the freak of nature. And I think they're going to go Amarius Mims left tackle and go for it.
I think whatever the Ravens do is going to change the idea what the 49ers are going to pick here as well. Because if Amarius Mims is there, I'm salivating if I'm the 49ers. You saw how bad the right tackle situation was for the 49ers last season. And now that I would say if you go get your best guard, I guess now you're going to have to roll with that left tackle that you had last season. get Graham Barton right here, right now. It's not like they've went out to help out that offensive line. They re-signed John Feliciano. They also signed Colton McKavitz to a one-year deal that I'm like, who's this guy? He's going to be your plug-and-play left tackle or right tackle for the 49ers. Now, get Graham Barton. Graham Barton's here. Get him. Get a possible tackle for your team. You could transition to a tackle, but at least you know you can get him on the guard.
100%. I think they need just a solid professional player there and a guy who's a plug-and-play, and I think that's Graham Barton. So, all right, Graham Barton. And then pick 32 is the Miami Dolphins, which is also your pick because
that is true.
You traded with the Kansas City Chiefs. So the floor is yours to close out this first round of the draft.
All right. So with the Dolphins here, who traded out of a higher first round draft pick, got some picks out of this. But the biggest need for them was, I'm going to get to my notes. Yeah, I still write stuff down. I'm that type of person. A guard, tackle, wide receiver, defensive tackle, and corner for them. Do you get Tyler Guyton here? Do you try to secure the rest, or do you go to TJ Tampa at corner to see if they can get that secondary? Maybe Jalen Ramsey can teach a thing or two of the guy, but it's either between one of the two.
Between the two, I think Tyler Guyton's upside is so much greater.
It's a lot more raw.
Yeah, you're picking at 32 though. Take a swing.
Yeah, get the Tyler Guyton.
All right, there we go. Tyler Guyton to pick 32 to close out this 2024 NFL.
This is a good draft. I think this is a good draft. This is the money maker.
Draft. That's a good draft. A lot of fun. We're not gonna recap the entire thing, but we'll go over a couple of them real quick. Caleb Williams, we had quarterbacks number 1, 2, and 3. Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, in that order to Chicago, Washington, and to the Patriots. We had a couple trade ups, right? We had the Denver Broncos trading up with the Atlanta Falcons to 8 to take their quarterback JJ McCarthy. We had the Atlanta Falcons taking the first defensive tackle off the board after that trade in Byron Murphy, and then a pick later, your Raiders took Quinyon Mitchell. We had the Chiefs. The Chiefs made a huge move, moving all the way up from 32. All the way up to 21 to get their guy Adonai Mitchell, and then the rest of the draft is who cares? Chiefs got their guy. That's that. End of the day, Chiefs got their guy, and nothing else really matters. I'm gonna save this, and we're gonna post this on social after we get done here, so that everybody can see it. Once this pod comes out, we'll post it up there so everybody can kind of see it and save it and let us know what you think. Graham. Another banger, bro.
Yes, sir.
Another banger. In the words of DJ Khaled, another one.
Another one.
All we do is make hits, baby. At least we think so. You guys might not think so. But if you do think so, as always, please leave us a 5-star review. And if you don't, then leave us a review anyway and tell us why we're not worthy of your 5-star review. Stay tuned. The editor show this week with Pete and John, AP Draft Room with Ron Kopp on Fridays. Pay attention to everything we got on the site. As always, guys, we're covering it all. With free agency wrapping up this week, we're going to be turning back towards the draft. Got some draft profiles coming out on some players that the Chiefs have met with, some guys that we like, some things that people might be doing, that the Chiefs might be doing as far as their whole draft philosophy and strategy goes. Everything's just going to keep ramping up, you know, as we move towards the draft. On Twitter.com, I'm at Rocky Magana. On X.com, he is at Kramer Talks.
Before we go,
you got any last words for the people?
It's disappointing we didn't get Ladd McConkey in the first round at all. So no, I have nothing. I've just go out there, have fun, put a smile on your face. You don't know who to see it to brighten up their day.
Yep, be good to each other, love each other. As always, thank you so much for the privilege of your time, and we hope that we were a good use and a good steward of the time that you gave us, and we're extremely grateful for you tuning in and hanging out with us for a bit. Be good to each other. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey there, it's Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride, and I'm excited to announce a new element of the Arrowhead Pride experience for diehard Chiefs fans. It's our brand new newsletter, Arrowhead Pride Premier. Arrowhead Pride Premier is a newsletter delivered to your inbox twice a week from me. For $50, you'll get an annual subscription packed with insider coverage from yours truly and new in-depth analysis from voices around Kansas City. It's all about what I'm seeing and hearing around the team. During the season, we'll deliver a newsletter ahead of each game to get ready for Sunday, and a newsletter after each game to unpack exactly what happened. Subscribe to Arrowhead Pride Premier today at arrowheadpride.com/subscribe.